Good morning to you all, wonderful saints of Jesus, and anybody listening this morning from anywhere else. We are so glad that you could join us today. And we're going to, after this amazing time of praise and worship, it's wonderful to praise him together. We're just going to see the power of God at work through the scriptures. I think one of the most important things that we can do is come together and listen to the word of Jesus, the word of God. The word of God equips us, enables us to see ourselves where we are, and enables us to see where we're going. And in every point of life, whether it's kind of the mundane, we still need the word. Whether you're in great need, we need the word of God. Whatever the circumstance, we need to hear the word of the Lord. And if you have a Bible, could you turn to Acts chapter 16? And we're going to read a portion of scripture which I believe shows how God's power is at work in believers. And I'd like you to think of yourself in the situation of being a believer in this time, and also look at what God is doing, working in the lost, in people who are outside of him and he wants to save. I really feel strongly that the Bible is relevant for our days, and we are hearing about great injustice happening over in the United States. It's just one issue of many around the world, where a guy called George Floyd suffered at the hands of really sinners, I suppose, but it's such injustice. And we need to speak out against injustice. But I think that the scripture this morning, and I didn't realize it, I've been living with this word for a while, I didn't realize how relevant it is as to how God wants us to be as Christians in response to injustice. And Paul and Silas, it's a well-known scripture in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas had faced injustice, been falsely accused, and had been beaten and put in prison for doing the right thing. And George Floyd, some of you may not even know this morning, but George Floyd, a black American in the States, where a policeman knelt on him in the streets. It was it's gone viral, it's on the videos, it's in the news. And he later died in custody. Now, we know that what happened was totally wrong, but he was a brother in Christ. He was an evangelist. And I think that's particularly relevant to the story this morning as to how does God want us to deal with the injustices? Yes, it's important we speak out. No, we don't go rioting. But there's a clear path in the Word of God that shows us the way to go. So let's read scripture and kind of think this is a hidden camera in this situation. The word just kind of gives us a picture of what's going on. In verse 20, they brought Paul and Silas to the magistrates, and they said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they'd laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. We like that bit. And the keeper of the prison, waking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice and said, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." Then he called for a light and ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them, and the same hour of the night washed their stripes. And immediately he and his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. What an amazing story of suffering and injustice, of pain, of things happening to believers in a situation you'd never want to be in. But how God was working behind the scenes and in everything to bring about the salvation of one man and his whole house. And this is an incredible testimony, really, of how God's power, if we apply ourselves to what we already have, how God's presence and power in the life of a believer can give us strength, supernatural strength, in circumstances that are very, very hard. And I know that often what is really preached about is the power of praise, and I don't want to underestimate the power of praise, because it really does bring a breakthrough. But Paul and Silas weren't praising God so they could get an earthquake. They didn't know that there was going to be an earthquake, that God was going to do something to set people free. And so they were just living out their own life of trusting in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And at 11:30, I often wonder what happened before midnight, because we know in the scripture there it says at midnight Paul and Silas were praising God. But what was happening just before then? They were put in stocks by the jailer. That's an instrument of torture. They were bleeding, probably almost at the point of death, because the stripes would have been so cruelly ripping the flesh on their body. And they were so in pain and discomfort in this instrument of torture, the stocks, in the inner prison. And I can imagine Paul turning to Silas going, "You okay?" "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm here anyway. I'm still alive." And I wonder if the conversation went something like this, because I don't believe they started praising straight away. I believe they started to encourage themselves in the Lord. I believe they started to speak. This is a preacher's license, I know. But they got to a state where they were so full of faith and joy that they were able to praise God in that time and pray. And I think we need to know in every season how to find that faith and joy in God alone. Because in every circumstance that might be good, bad, things happen, tough times, we need to know how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And I think Paul said something like this: "Silas, you know, it's made me think that he suffered so much at the hand of sinners. And I was the one that he died for, like you and everyone. That Jesus took our sin. And he suffered the curse, not just the beating, the shame, the rejection. That he was crucified, whipped, beaten to almost to immense weakness. And he was crucified, and he hung there, and he bore the curse of sin, the judgment of God on our sin. Isn't it amazing he did this for us? And here we are suffering in his name." See, I believe they used that time of difficulty to turn their eyes on Jesus and say, "Lord, whatever we're going through, thank you that you did all of that. You loved us so much." And then they were encouraging themselves in the Lord. "Silas, we're blessed with every blessing. We're loved, we're chosen. We're in this place because sinful man and injustice has brought us here for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Lord, thank you that we are saved eternally. We've been forgiven. That we've been made right with God." And maybe they read one of our favorites, and I'm sure it's one of yours. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's in Romans 8. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things, Silas, in all things, yes, Paul, in all things, we are more than conquerors. Even in this place, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. For I'm persuaded, we are persuaded in this, that nothing in all creation, nothing, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And about 12 o'clock, they were so full and encouraged, they began to praise him. And there was another man in the scriptures you can read of, David. There was a time when he and his men came back and the enemy had come in and stolen their families, their wives and their children. And they all sat down and wept. They were in great distress. And you know, there wasn't Bethel live on. There wasn't a podcast they could listen to. David actually went to the Lord and said, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And from receiving strength, he began to recover his boldness, his faith, his joy, his hope. You know, every day, I want to ask you, are you receiving new strength? I love to imagine you listening to this, receiving strength as I'm speaking God's word this morning. But I believe that to be strong in our day, we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord continually. And scripture says that through the encouragement and hope of the scriptures, the faith and encouragement, we can have hope for our future that comes to us daily as we read his word, encourage ourselves in all that Jesus has done for us and all that Jesus has given us. Beloved, Jude 20 says, you beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and keep yourselves in the love of God. Build yourself. You see, it's something that you and I must do. We need to be a people of the Word and the Spirit. And in that one verse in Jude 20, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't have the Word coming to you regularly, daily, then there isn't the strength of faith being built into your life so that you can withstand whatever the circumstances that will happen in the life of a faithful believer. Build yourselves up praying in the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. He helps us in our weaknesses when we don't know what to pray. And the gift of tongues, it's Spirit-filled believers. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in other tongues with your mind understanding, but also with your spirit, because that brings a supernatural power of God into someone who is naturally weak. Paul and Silas were helpless in the flesh, but strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And so when they began to praise, they praised out of being full. They'd probably been emptied or depleted by what had happened to them. And I believe that at any moment, in any time, in families, in homes, as individuals, that we can build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You see, the days are evil. We're in times where the church need to be strong, not weak, strong in the faith. And only the word and hearing the word of God and praying in the Holy Spirit will keep us strong. But I believe there was another secret to Paul and Silas's freedom in that moment. They forg- forgave those who had treated them wrongly. Because the secret of keeping ourselves in the love of God is to obey his commandments, and one of the most fundamental commandments of Jesus is that as we have been forgiven, so we must freely forgive others. And I believe they forgave and were as free as they could be, totally free in their hearts internally, even though they were still captive. So let's see that this hidden camera, we've seen a transition, a power of God come into weakness and to a situation of great need. And I'm praying that that will be a reality in your life. But then I want to go on to say, what's God doing in the world? What's God doing in this situation? And I believe this is really a prophetic, another sign in the scriptures that we can look at and say, this is what God is doing. There is a shaking going on, a shaking of foundations of man, a shaking of everything that can be trusted that is not of God. And this earthquake produced a prison shaking, a whole, wherever they were, the whole fabric of the place they were in shook. Now, whatever God does, he does to free people and to show his great big heart of mercy and grace for sinners, for people who are not yet saved. So in other words, God didn't send an earthquake to kill them. He sent an earthquake to wake them up so that he could save them. Now, the jailer is the next person I'd like us to kind of focus in on in this particular message today. Imagine his heart and his attitude pre-earthquake. Before the earthquake, I believe the jailer was a hard nut, as hard as nails. Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower, that if the farmer goes out to sow the seed and it falls along the wayside, it won't go in. The seed doesn't go in because it's hard. There's unbelief. There's a hardness towards God and the gospel of Jesus. But the earthquake produced a shaking on the inside of this jailer. So much so that he feared for his life. You see, he was all about punishment. He was someone who, he was a horrible man. He was a sinner. And you and I would say what he did was completely wrong. As we say, what has happened to George Floyd is completely wrong. And there needs to be justice, human justice. But we are dealing with the things of God because we're Christians. How does a Christian respond? And the jailer, he felt he was going to come under the punishment for allowing the prisoners to escape. And he was also probably greatly affected by what had happened naturally. So he's about to draw his sword on himself. And Paul cries out from the prison, "We're all here, don't harm yourself." That shows how we can be merciful to those who have treated us wrongly. Right in that moment, that jailer experienced the mercy and the forgiveness of God through Paul and Silas. And I believe that was all part of them being a witness in that place. Not only the praise, not only God shaking up things, as he is shaking the foundations of our nation, of our neighbors. Everything is being shaken in this time. But the church is staying strong. Amen. We're staying encouraged in the Lord. But Paul and Silas offered mercy. Don't harm yourself. We're still here. In other words, we don't want you to suffer because we've been forgiven much. We are also understanding. We're here to freely give to you. The jailer did what you and I long for as Christians. Falling down, not necessarily at our feet, although he must have thought, what mercy I've received. And who are these people who believe in this God? I must find out more. And he said, what must I do to be saved? I long for reaching those kinds of people, that we as a church would be in a situation where we will see that kind of response, that kind of work of God in the heart of the hardest heart. Because I believe after being as hard as the road, his heart immediately afterwards became as soft as the softest soil, ready to receive the seed of God's word, ready to receive the gospel. And so, church, be encouraged. The shaking is producing a readiness to receive the gospel in our day. I believe with all of my heart, this is what the Spirit is saying. Now is the time of salvation. Today is the day. And there are many who are ready. Not everybody, because the prisoners didn't get saved, interestingly. But the jailer and his whole household did. And so I think the key is in listening to what is the gospel. Paul, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He was so full on, even though he was persecuted so terribly for preaching the gospel. He knew that in the gospel, the good news, now that's what the gospel means. And actually, the good news isn't just good news. It's nearly too good to be true news. That's what it's supposed to mean. The nearly too good to be true news about Jesus Christ. Paul said, the good news, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation, to save people. The power of God is in the news, the good news of Jesus Christ, to save, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for all people. The gospel is for everyone. Whoever believes, that's what the condition is. Because in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith. In other words, you can be right with God through faith in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus Christ. And so when the jailer asked this question, Paul said, well, let me tell you one of my stories. He didn't say that, although our testimony entices people to know God. He didn't say, well, have you been to church? Do you pray? He knew that the only thing that would save a person is understanding what Jesus Christ has done on the cross and the whole work of salvation that God has accomplished, that is received by faith and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. And so Paul, he didn't just say, and I think this is what verse 31 says. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and you and your household. He didn't just say that. Pray a prayer, quick, pray a prayer. It says in verse 32, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. In other words, they went into his house. They were all sitting around, the jailer and his household. And they began to speak the word of the Lord. Not their word, not their story, but God's word. The unchangeable word of God. You see, no one can be saved without hearing God's message. It isn't man's message, it's God's word. And so they didn't just say believe. They said, let us tell you about what Jesus has done. Now, the gospel is so simple, we kind of get ourselves tied up in knots that we don't really know it. It's simply summed up in these three things. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again, according to the scriptures. So Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again, according to the scriptures. So God's nearly too good to be true news is Christ died for our sins. Now, the Bible is real. realistic about the human condition. That all have sinned. The problem, every problem, can be traced back to sin, missing God's standard. All have sinned and missed God's right standard, righteousness, holiness, and fallen short of God's standard. All. That means every person who thinks they're a good person has missed God's standard. Because you can be good, but still go to hell. You can be obviously the worst sinner and go to hell. The point is not our goodness, our righteousness, but God's righteousness is given because Jesus died for our sins. And he took our sin upon himself. So the human condition is the problem. The police officer who dealt with George Floyd in the way that he did sinned against him. He is a sinner and he sinned. And God's message to him is the same as it was to Paul, as it was to Silas, as it is to me, and it is to you, that Christ died for sinners. God never excuses sin, and I believe there is a righteous justice that needs to happen in the human court, trials, all kinds, the right way this needs to be brought to justice. But God judged Jesus for my sin. And God judges Jesus for all our sin, so that anyone who believes will not perish. Anyone who accepts that Jesus did this for them, that he died and rose again, and accepts him as their Lord and Savior, will not perish, but have eternal life. The power is in the gospel. But first, the jailer had to recognize, I've sinned. The whole household needed to recognize they weren't right with God. What must I do to be saved? First, I recognized that it was a problem that God needed to fix. But he has fixed it. That's the solution. He did this so that we could be forgiven. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. Now, Paul will have explained what this meant. This meant that not only did the jailer and his household need to admit their need of forgiveness, but they needed to believe that Jesus has already paid and that it isn't anything that they can do to be right with God. None of us can do anything. We do not relate to God based on our performance, but we relate to him based on what Jesus has done for us. And Paul will have explained to him that if you admit that you are a sinner and you need to accept God's forgiveness based on what Jesus has done, he will give you a gift of salvation. And it's all grace, by grace, through faith, personal faith. And Paul will have explained what that meant, that faith in Jesus, that he is your Savior. He saves you from sin so that you can live in right relationship with God now and have an eternal relationship with God in heaven through faith alone in Jesus Christ. But Paul also explained that not only did Jesus die, but he rose again, that he is alive. Jesus is alive. And that means that not only did he put your sin, remove your sin through the cross, but you died in him. And you were buried in him and you were raised in him. And Paul, because they were all baptized, he would have said, I want to tell you a picture of how and what this means. Your old life, if you receive Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior, is gone. So when you're baptized, you go into the water. It's like the old you is gone and you're dead in Christ, but you've been raised to new life in him. So you identify fully that the old you is gone and the new you has come. And Paul would have explained, it's not just about having a saviour, it's surrendering your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord. Today and every day, the gospel is the power. Christ died for my sin, for all our sins. He was buried, and that means my old life is gone, removed, and I have been raised to a new life through faith and totally surrendering my life to Jesus Christ as Lord. And I will obey him and follow his lordship, his leadership, by being baptized, showing to myself that my old life is gone and I'm living a new life as a gift from God under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. See, it's not just a prayer, it's a surrender. And that's what happened in this home, in this family, in this household. They didn't just believe, they received Jesus as their Savior, as a gift, and their Lord, as the one that they would yield to, this loving King, and obey him for the rest of their life. And Paul speaks about the gospel. We stand in it, we continue in it, we hold fast to the gospel. The gospel isn't a prayer, it's a life lived, but it's a gift from God. And this is why the good news is such good news. And so the good news today is for the church, that we can be strong, to strengthen ourselves continually, and beloved, build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. But for this, the jailer, and for everyone who has sinned against others and against God, there is forgiveness if we will turn to Jesus, admit our sin, ask him to forgive us, and receive, believe that he died for us, rose again, and accept him as our Savior and Lord. And be baptized. It's all part of it, that we are immersed in water, old life gone, raised to a new life. Beloved, the gospel alone is the hope. The human condition will not be solved by anything else but the gospel of Jesus. And God wants us to be confident in the simplicity of the power of the message. The gospel is the power of God, not man's, but God's, unto salvation. Today, as the world shakes, as the foundations are breaking up, let's be strong in the Lord. Build yourself up. Don't leave it to someone else. Be encouraged by the body of Christ. I don't mean that. We need each other. But there is a self-build, building up in the most holy faith, in the Word of God, and in praying in the Holy Spirit. Don't forget the gift of tongues. Pray in the Spirit. It builds you up. It brings the supernatural power of God into your life, so that you can be light, free, in circumstances that would normally push you down. You can live above those circumstances and know that God is shaking everything so that we can bring the good news to the people, even those who have hurt us and abused us, hated us, done the worst kind of crime. God forgives sinners just as he forgave me my sin. And if I think about my own sin, I know I wouldn't stand before God. But in humility, I came to him and he removed it all and gave me a new life. And if you're listening today, believe, turn to the Lord Jesus, surrender your life to him as Lord, and accept the free gift of God's amazing salvation that makes you right with God through faith in Jesus alone. Not of works, not because I'm good enough, because I was never good enough. No one's good, not even one, apart from God. And that's the story for the world. That's the nearly too good to be true news. God did it so that we could receive the life eternal from Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that we're in a day of your Spirit and power, that you haven't left us to ourselves, but you've given us your Spirit as your people, and that we, Lord, can build ourselves up in the truth of your word, in the most holy faith, trusting you, believing you, accepting your word as true, accepting your promises, even in the worst circumstances, Lord. For my brothers and sisters, for those in the church, those who are listening today, thank you for a strong power of your Spirit and word in our lives that build us up to be strong in our day. Lord, let the weak say that we are strong because of what you do in us as we build ourselves up in prayer and in faith. Lord, I pray that like Paul and Silas, we would realize the shaking that's going on is changing hearts, preparing them to receive the seed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. I pray that we would understand that before we're saved, we need to acknowledge that we sinned and that Jesus died for our sins. That's your solution. I pray that we would surrender to you, Lord. We'd understand that everyone must kneel, must bow, must surrender, not only to your saving power, but to you as Lord, and confess you, their own personal Lord. And I pray anyone listening today that has never done this, Father, will surrender right now and accept the free gift of eternal life, of salvation, through believing in the work of Jesus in his death and resurrection. Thank you. This is nearly too good to be true news. And I pray we would be those people who are speaking out in this generation the greatest news that there is, the gospel of Jesus. Amen. For his glory, church, and for the advance of the kingdom. So have an amazing week. Be strong. Be strong in your day. Be strong in the word. Be strong in prayer. And be confident in the power of the gospel. It's simple, but it actually means so much to surrender to the one who loved us so much that he gave his life for us all. And whilst we grieve for this amazing man who was such an evangelist, George Floyd, in the States, we pray for his family and we pray for the gospel to go further. As he lived for the gospel, we pray for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus, and that God will bring good out of this evil, and that there will be justice for him and his family, but that there will ultimately be salvation, because I know that's, as a true man of God that he was, is what he would want. Praise God. In difficult times, we can keep a clear mind and know this is what God wants to do in the whole world.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.